of him. Translation. So here, Uddhava, keep on speaking to Vidura. Certainly, others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows, and while seeing the lotus face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, appears in this world for two missionary purposes: to deliver the faithful and to annihilate the miscreants. But because the Lord is absolute, his two different kinds of action, although apparently different, are ultimately one and the same. His annihilation of a person like Shishupal is as auspicious as his action for the protection of the faithful. All the warriors who fought against Arjuna but who were able to see the lotus-like face of the Lord on the battlefield, on the battlefront, achieved the abode of the Lord, exactly as the devotees of the Lord do. The words pleasing to the eyes of the seer are very significant. When the warriors from the other side of the battlefield saw Lord Krishna at the front, they appreciated his beauty, and their dormant instinct of love of God was awakened. Shishupal saw the Lord also, but he saw him as his enemy, and his love was not awakened. Therefore, Shishupal achieved oneness with the Lord by merging in the impersonal glare of his body, called the Brahma Yoti. Others who were in the marginal position, being neither friends nor enemies, but slightly in love of Godhead, by appreciating the beauty of his face, were at once promoted to the spiritual planet, the Vaikunthas. The Lord's personal abode is called Goloka Vrindavan, and the abode where his planetary expansion resides are called the Vaikunthas, where the Lord is present as Narayan. Love of God is dormant in every living entity, and the entire process of devotional service into the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant, eternal love of Godhead. But there are degrees of such transcendental awakening. Those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to Goloka Vrindavan, very good, in the spiritual sky. Whereas persons who have just awakened to love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planets, very good. Essentially, there are no material differences between Goloka and Vaikuntha. But in the Vaikunthas, the Lord is served in unlimited opulence, whereas in Goloka, the Lord is served in natural affection. This love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. Here the word Partashtraputa is significant. Those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with arrows. The Lord appeared for the mission of diminishing the burden of the world, and Arjuna was assisting the Lord by fighting on his behalf. Arjuna personally declined to fight, and the whole instruction of the Bhagavad Gita was given to Arjuna to engage him in the fight. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna agreed to fight in preference to his own decision, and thus Arjuna fought to assist the Lord in his mission of diminishing the burden of the world. All the activities of a pure devotee are executed on behalf of the Lord because a pure devotee of the Lord has nothing to do for his personal interest. Arjuna's killing was as good as killing by the Lord himself. As soon as Arjuna shot an arrow at an enemy, that enemy became purified by all material contamination and became eligible to transfer to the spiritual sky. Those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face at the front had their dormant love of God awakened, and thus they were transferred at once to Vaikuntha Loka, not to the impersonal state of Brahmayoti as was for Shishupal. Shishupal died without appreciating the Lord, while others died with appreciation of the Lord. Both were transferred to the spiritual sky, but those who were awakened to love of God were transferred to the planet of the transcendental sky. Uddhava seemingly lamented that his own position was less than that of the warrior of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because they had attained to Vaikuntha, whereas he remained to lament the disappearance of the Lord. Tatevachanye naralokavirayaha ave krishnamukaravinda netrai pivanto nayanadiramam partash taputa padam apurasya. Certainly, others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. Om Agyanati Medandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse we hear about the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what was happening at the time of the big fight. So two elements are written here. The first one was coming by the arrows of Arjuna. And what was happening when the soldiers were getting those arrows? What was happening to them?
They became purified from all sin.
They became purified by getting the arrows of the Lord. Yeah, very interesting. And the second point, what happened to them later after being purified? Let's see if someone else knows.
They went back in the spiritual sky and to the Vaikuntha planets.
There was something in between.
What? They saw the beautiful face of Krishna.
Yeah, they saw the beautiful face of Krishna, and they started to develop appreciation. and by developing this appreciation, they actually went back to the spiritual sky. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about three different types of devotees who all reach the spiritual sky, but all a different portion of the spiritual sky. First he mentioned Shishupal, who was actually envious of the Lord and actually could not awake his love for Krishna. But because he was thinking of him, he went to the Brahmayoti, to the effulgence of the Lord. Then he spoke to those who were in the marginal position. They were not friends to Krishna, not really enemy to Krishna. They were just there because they had to fight. That was their duty. And being purified by the arrows, when they saw Krishna, they developed some love, started to awaken from them. And those souls, they went to the Vaikuntha planets. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned the third type of souls who actually develop fully their love of God. And they go to Goloka Vrindavan, where actually there is a natural flow of affection between the devotees and the Lord. In Vaikuntha there is a lot of opulences, but in Goloka Vrindavan there's a very natural flow of affection. That means raga, that means attraction between the devotees and the Lord, and this ever-flowing exchange between the Brijvasis and between Krishna. So I found it interesting, this point of the arrows of Arjuna that were actually purifying the soldiers. And I was thinking a little bit, also there is this point of Arjuna who is actually helping Krishna. Krishna wants to annihilate the miscreant, the demons, and Arjuna, by fighting, is actually assisting Krishna in his mission. And Prabhupada mentioned that actually Arjuna's fighting was actually non-different than Krishna. Arjuna's killing was actually non-different than if Krishna would kill himself directly, because he was like his representative, he was serving on his behalf. And so I was thinking, in our own life, who are the Arjunas? Who are those who are actually helping the Lord to remove the burden of the earth?
I would say the pure devotees who travel around all the world and preach and give Krishna consciousness.
And are they shooting arrows?
No.
No? How will
maybe,
we... How?
Maybe in the form of knowledge, maybe.
Yeah.
In the form of books.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
I heard one day I was polishing puja plates and I listened to a lecture of Prabhupada, and he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the most merciful incarnation of Krishna, because he doesn't kill the demons. He doesn't appear with his weapons like Krishna. He kills the demons with weapons. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought Sankirtan. So by the Sankirtan, the demonic tendencies mm-hmm. are being killed. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's weapon.
Very nice. It's not at all the point I wanted to make, but it's anyway nice. The point I wanted to make is that sometimes the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees and other devotees, they will also shoot arrows on us. That those arrows that will give us purification. And those arrows that give purification come sometimes in strong words. Comes sometimes in challenging situation. We see sometimes even in devotee association we have sometimes conflicts and sometimes difficulties. And I thought to make a little bit a link of those arrows of Arjuna that are coming actually to purify us through actually the devotees who are sometimes giving us strong time, or even through, I will say, circumstances in life who are also giving us quite a good amount of purification. And it's interesting because there we see first purification comes, and then the soldiers are actually able to appreciate the beauty of Krishna's face. That means it's almost like necessary for the soul to get purified. I know that in one lecture Radhanath Swami said that this is basically the duty of the spiritual master, to give purification to his disciples. I remember once we were in Govardhan retreat. I was staying in the same room with Guru Maharaj. I was serving him at that time. And during the whole week, he was so intense with me. He was just, and I could not escape. I was in the same room. So all the time, he was very, very intense to me. And one day he told me, "Do you know, it's really not easy to be a spiritual master. It's really not easy to be a spiritual master, because the spiritual master needs to give purification to his disciples, and this is painful for the disciples, and therefore it's not easy to be the spiritual master." And Radhanath Swami explained that different spiritual masters will have different ways to give purification to their disciples. And so this is one point, and obviously there are all the purification we are receiving when we are engaged in devotional service through the circumstances in which our life are going. We all have ideals, vision of how we would like our life to be, and it's not so often that this happened, and we all have some type of challenges, some type of tests, which are also there acting as a purifying arrows for us to become clean.
Are they coming also from the spiritual master?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You said one day to me that he's not aware of everything.
You mean the circumstance?
The situation you go through.
Not always. I misunderstood your first question. What I told you previously is true. The spiritual master is not automatically knowing everything of the life of all his disciples at the same time. But Krishna can give him knowledge of some specific instance, of some specific devotees, and then he can pray for them or see how to help them. Yeah, that's like this. But he's not necessarily aware of all those challenging circumstances that we are going through, not all of them. So how is a devotee reacting in those situations? In those challenging situations, when those arrows are shot, the devotee is thinking, "I actually deserve much worse." The devotee take humble position. When we are proud, we think, "Why? What? How can that happen to me? I'm a devotee. I'm such a great soul. How is that those difficulties happen to me?" And we are hurt. We are pained. But the devotee sees always the situation in the opposite. He sees, actually, I'm deserving much worse. But because of my devotional service, I'm actually getting a token of what I would receive other ways. And this is the philosophy of seeing the positive side of the life. And there is the example of this glass, which is half empty or half full. And we have actually always the opportunity to see from either perspective, the positive perspective or the negative perspective. And when we see, very often the function of the mind is to complain, is to revolt, is to be agitated, and especially when things do not go properly. But if we use our intelligence, we just contemplate the chance we have to be connected to Krishna, the chance we have that we can chant His holy name, all that is actually given to us, then we can see actually the glass in the full, in the proper perspective. It's at least half full. Also, those arrows, when they are coming, they are a chance for us. they are a chance for us to take shelter. Because most of the time we are just in our little world, and we don't, at least for me, I don't usually take so much shelter in Krishna on a daily basis. I feel everything is all right, I'm doing my life and this and that. But when those errors are coming, when we are actually put in difficulties, then it's a chance for us to take shelter, a chance for us to go to the lotus feet of the Lord, to go to the lotus feet of the Holy Name and beg for shelter. This often takes us out of our small illusory world. It's actually, obviously, if it's all the time purification, it's not an easy thing, but usually it comes in waves. Krishna is not a cruel personality that just want to finish us. He's just giving sometimes by waves, up and down, and we have the chance to take it in the positive way through the eyes of Shastra, through the eyes of the sadhus, and use that as an opportunity to become deeper and to take more shelter. There was the story of a man who had climbed on a tree, and then he was screaming, "I cannot go down! I cannot go down off that tree, please help me, please help me." So the villagers came to try to help that man, and they tried in many ways, but the man, they put it a ladder. How is it? Ladder?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And the man was saying, "No, I cannot. And then they throw ropes and everything, and the man was just not able to go down. And then a sadhu came by. And they asked the sadhu, "Please, can you help this man to come down off the tree?" And the sadhu said, "Oh yeah, very easy." So the sadhu started to take stones, big stones, and started to send the stone to the man. And the man went, "Hey, you are crazy. And the sadhu said, go down that tree. And it was just sending stones. That it became painful for the man in the tree, and then he immediately got the way to go down. So sometimes life situation is like this. Krishna needs sometimes to send us a little bit difficult time so that we wake up and we take full responsibility of our spiritual journey. So there are three times in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about awakening our dormant love of God. And he is speaking about three different ways to do that. Any one of you got any one of those ways to awaken love of God from the purport? Yeah?
Well, the first one, which applied to the soldiers of the battlefield, was by being purified by the arrows of Arjuna, and seeing Krishna's face, they could appreciate mm-hmm. Krishna. So this is like a, how was it said, a partial development of love of mm-hmm. Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it was just one sentence. You might not have gotten. This is one point was by seeing the Lord. Mm. One point was by devotional service, and one point was by association. That was three times Prabhupada mentioned. So I thought to just go shortly through the three of them. Awakening our love with devotional service. That's a good point. And especially relevant for us, who are actually engaged 24 hours a day in service. Maybe minus 7 when we sleep, maybe we are not so much able. So let's say, I'm not good in calculation. Anyway, the point I want to make is that we are actually mainly all the time engaged in devotional service. From the time we wake up, we take our shower, everything is just devotional service. Morning program, whatever we do in the temple is just, everything is devotional service. But how many hours a day or how many minutes a day are we doing really devotional service? When our heart is really connected, when we are really in the consciousness, I want to please Krishna. And this shows us that there is an absolute need to go very, very deep into the way we are practicing Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's just we look like people from outside. Sometimes a congregation member come and they say, we don't feel that the devotees of the temple are much more spiritual than us. They are also running all around doing the thousand of things. They do it for Krishna, it's true, but they are not shining. They are not full of love. They are not connected. So in one sense, they are doing mainly like us. They are not so deep. And this is actually our duty. This is our part. We sometimes say, oh, the congregation like this, or the congregation like that. But our part, we should focus on our part. And our part is actually to become very, very spiritually charged, very spiritually happy in our heart. And then the congregation will feel, oh, they are really our examples. They are really our examples, and we want to support them in their attempt. So often in connection with congregation and temple devotees, we feel that everyone thinks the other one should do, should be like this or should do like that. But we need to work first on our side. And this means we need to become very, very serious and very, very deep in increasing those moments of connection with Krishna. Increasing those moments when we remember Krishna while we are doing the service. We purposefully do the service for the pleasure of Krishna. And this, of course, we have heard thousand times lectures making out this point, but this is very much connected to our desire. How much do we desire to be Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada will say, the price of Krishna consciousness is eagerness. How much eagerness, how much desire we have that we serve Krishna with love and devotion. We are really connected in our service. Why do we have such a low desire to really love Krishna and serve him with love and devotion?
You're not tired enough of this world.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that's exactly what I have. We still believe we can be happy without Krishna. We still believe that all many other things will give us pleasure and satisfaction else than this deep connection with Krishna. Very good. Okay, so that was one point. The second point is awakening our love through association. Association with devotees as a means to awake our love of God. This is also a very nice point. Yesterday I took prasadam. It was very nice, actually. I saw that few devotees were not in the lecture, so I thought, okay, let me spend some time with them. So I was with them and we were discussing, and I was thinking, oh, how can I connect something of Krishna conscious? We were discussing of many side things of the house. And suddenly one devotee made a little point, and it just opened a discussion that was very, very nice on mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
Mysticism or spiritual experience.
Spiritual
erfahrung. For mysticism, do we have a German word for that?
Yeah.
Mystic.
Mystic.
Yeah.
Mystic.
So the discussion started to go in that way, and suddenly everyone became enlivened, and then we came to the point of the need of having those spiritual experience in our devotional life, and how they were coming before, and maybe not coming so much now anymore. And so we had actually a very, very nice journey, and I could see we were a few devotees together, and I was like praying to Krishna, please do something or bring something so that we can have a sangha, we can have a real sangha, satsangha, like our discussion is connected to something spiritual. And suddenly there was like the door was just a little open, and I just could go and slowly open it bigger, and we had a very, very, very nice discussion. It was very enlivening. And then we were supposed to take prasad together, but they all went to take prasad somewhere else, in the prasadam room, but anyway, I saw there was one devotee alone sitting in the temple room, so I went to that devotee, and we had again like a wonderful churning of good ideas, of discussion, realization. And then this devotee looked at me and she said, "You must preach about the importance of association." She said, "It's so enlivening. When we are with good devotee, with good sangha, then we just get strength, we just get enlivened." And this is very, very important as devotees, that we learn the art of generating the satsangha. Because it just doesn't mean, it's not only that we need to be next to each other and we have the sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha basically means that we activate spiritual thoughts. We share our spiritual treasure to others, and we ask others to please share their spiritual treasure to us. This is really an art of, and this is giving so much strength. Very often in his actual seminars, Satchinandana Swami is doing active learning exercise, and he asks devotees to go in pairs and discuss about certain topics. And this is like very strong sadhu sangha. This is very that awaken this sangha, and this is very, very powerful. I experienced many times in those type of exercise how this aha effect, you know, you get deeper into your heart, into your thoughts.
I would say I have every time when I stay in the seminar, and I feel very good when I see how deep the devotees share together.
Yeah.
It is so, you know, they are very so absorbed in the discussions together that I'm very wondering, you know. I take part on the discussion with the other, but then I really think, well, you heard the voices very intense around, you know. Yeah, that is Krishna's empire in this, in this time.
And in those moments, we are actually not spacing out. We are actually fully focused in this type of sangha. Our mind is just like totally absorbed, totally caught into the spiritual atmosphere. Yesterday I received an email from Tushta Krishna Prabhu, and he wrote me a very nice quote from Vashishta Purana, something like this. And this is a quote on sadhu sangha. "One should always associate with devotees. Even if they do not teach you directly, their conversation amongst themselves will teach you. Association with wise devotees makes what is empty full. This association turns death into immortality. It turns calamities into good fortune." So we sometimes need to learn the art of milking the cow. We have devotees which are like cows, and we should learn to to milk their spiritual realizations. I remember once I was in Pula, I was in Venugopal's house for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Maybe a few years ago. Wow, it was so good. I really need to visit this devotee, it's just so nice. And they asked me to give a Sunday feast lecture. And at the end of the Sunday feast lecture, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu came. And he just sat next to me for prasad, so we were eating next to each other. And then I just got the inspiration. I said, Prabhuji, what is in your heart? What is your inspiration at the moment? What is in life in your Krishna consciousness? He told me something very nice. He said, right now, I am speaking, preaching to my mind. And I am telling my mind, let go. Let go. Let go. That's what I'm doing now. I'm just telling my mind, don't take life too serious. Don't grasp all the things around you. Just let go. Let go. Everything will just disappear due course of time. No need to agitate yourself in any of all the surrounding things. Just let go. Let go. Let go. So it was just such a good inspiration. I just carried it for many months with me, and this is the power of this association. When they have really something in their heart and they share that, it has very deep impact. It's like also when we give lecture, we can just repeat things of the scripture. We just be like postman. We deliver the spiritual message, and this is wonderful. This is what we should do. But if we can share topics that are dear for us, topics that we are actually thinking about, that we are trying to work on it, then when we share those topics, they have very deep impact in the other devotees and will help them very, very efficiently. So the last point is awakening our love by seeing the Lord. We were having a very nice Krishna Katha on last Thursday evening, and we heard about Krishna and Balaram when they went to Mathura. They went to Akura Ghat, where Akura took his bath, and in the middle of the Yamuna River saw the chariot and Krishna and Balaram, and how is that possible? So he went out of the river to see on the bank, and so actually Krishna and Balaram are there. The chariot is not in the water but out of the water. So he, my God, I must be dreaming, I'm in illusion. And he went back in the river, and then he just saw again the chariot, and then he saw how Balaram transformed in Anartashesha, and Krishna transformed in Lord Narayan, and all demigods were coming and were worshipping. All sadhus were there, and Akura was chanting his Gayatri and started to tears were flowing down like the Yamuna River, and he just lowered his head and just offered prayers and prayers. And then when suddenly Krishna took away this vision, and Akura just came back to his senses and was so excited, he came out of the water, dressed himself, put tilak and ran back to the chariot where Akura and Balaram, Krishna and Balaram were. And Krishna and Balaram said, oh, Akura, what's happening to you? Did you see anything special? And then Akura said, my dear Lord, when we see you, we see everything. Everything is included in you. When we see you, what need is there to see anything else? And then, with this wonderful experience, Akura started again to drive the chariot with Krishna and Balaram. And they were crossing villages. And in those villages, 100,000 of people, must have been quite big villages, assembled there to see Krishna and Balaram on the chariot. They would come and they would welcome Krishna and Balaram with their glances. And they would look at Krishna and Balaram with so much love. Just Krishna just revealed themselves. They were able to see Krishna in his full beauty, and they were just, Krishna will enter their eyes and will stay like imprinted in their minds. That even when Lord Krishna was gone, they just could not see anything else than Krishna. Krishna was just had entered their eyes. And their eyes now were longing to see Krishna again. Their eyes were thirsty to see that form of Krishna again. And Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj is saying that it's actually our eyes, the real function of our eyes is to see Krishna. This is the real function of our eyes. Our eyes are not much to see anything else. The gopi is saying, what's the use of our eyes? To see our husbands, our children, our beauties, and what's the use of all of that? The function of our eyes is to see Krishna. It's nothing else, nothing better, nothing more beautiful than the form of Krishna. And Krishna gladly allow his bhakta to see him. Krishna wants to be seen. Krishna wants his bhakta to see. And when we have the eyes of love, we can truly see him. We have to actually purify those eyes. Sometimes it has to be purified through tears so that we can see Krishna. Guru Maharaj gave a nice analogy of Manchu and Layla. Manchu was a Hindu, a Muslim boy. And Layla, no, the opposite. Manchu was a Hindu boy. And Layla was a Muslim girl. And somehow, Manchu fell in love with Layla. But the parents of Manchu say, "Hey, Manchu, she is Muslim. And she is not so beautiful. We will find another Hindu girl for you, which is very, very beautiful." And Manchu said, "Layla is the most beautiful of all." Because Layla was the most beautiful in the eyes of Manchu. In the eyes of others, she was not so beautiful, but in the eyes of Manchu, she was the most beautiful. So this is how our eyes should be transformed. We should literally fall in love with Krishna, with Krishna's beauty, so that actually there is no other thing more beautiful. Our eyes become get this balsam of love, so that when we see Krishna, there is nothing else we want to see. And we are praying that every day, for that every day. Nayane haribo sada yugala ruparasi. Please give me the eyes. I want to see your pastimes in the Nikunj of Vrindavan. This is a prayer. When we chant that in the morning, we should really deeply feel, this is what I want. This is what my eyes need to see Krishna in his pastimes. Satyavatya Muni, if I pronounce his name properly, in his Damodarastakam, also all the time come back to this point. I don't want any form of liberation. The only things I want is to see your beautiful face, which is red bimba lips, like the bimba fruit, which this face which is encircled by your beautiful locks of hair. This is the devotees, they want to see the Lord. That's very, very important, very deep inside their heart. I would like to read you a small quote from a saint. What was his name? Paramananda Das. He was from the Vallabha Sampradaya. I don't know his full story, but he was writing a poem which is very beautiful. That's a gopi speaking to Mother Yasoda. "I have come to see your Krishna's face. Yesterday, I beheld his face on the way to sell my curds, and that day yield double profits. I sold my yogurt and the black calf was born. I have run here now, and my friends are waiting outside. Now wake up your Krishna. Hearing the gopis' words, Krishna sat up on his bed, laughed and called her close. Supreme Bliss then revealed a secret rendezvous to that clever gopi. Very, very beautiful. Huh? That gopi who yesterday saw the face of Krishna, and then she went to sell the curd, and she was just selling all the curd, and even more than this, a black calf was born on that day. So now she's coming again. Say, Yasoda, Yasoda, wake up your Krishna, I want to see him, I want to see him. And then Krishna, hearing her, this clever gopi, her eagerness, let her come here. And Supreme Bliss revealed a secret rendezvous for that gopi for later. Very, very beautiful. So, in the same way, I think before going on book distribution, Mikhail should look at Krishna's form like anything, and then he will get all auspiciousness for very profuse distribution of his books. Yeah, I would like to conclude this lecture in seeing the deity. Krishna is there. How much are we drinking of his form with our eyes? How much are we staring at him? We should not be worried, for Krishna is very nice to be that we stare at him. Not like usually people, when you stare at them, they feel disturbed. Krishna likes very much. How much are we drinking of the beauty of his form with our eyes? It is said that I had a book on meditation before I became a devotee, and the book was saying we should look at the photo or picture of Ram and Krishna, and then we should go first to the from the toe and look all the parts of the body to the head, and then from the head we go down again to the toe, and then from the toe we go up to the head, and the head to the toe, and that's actually meditation. By looking all the time at the form of the Lord. And this is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And Krishna likes very much we observe him and we look at him very delicately. I think it's very important our eyes get the imprint of the form of Krishna, and that by doing this constantly that it goes deeper and deeper in our heart and comes back during the day. As we are doing things, the picture come up, Krishna. It's like Krishna reappearing in our minds, because we have taken this inner picture in our mind, then it's there and can come back. But if we never really observe the deity or look attentively or drink the picture, the form of the Lord in our heart, then there is almost no chance it come back. It will come up. It's necessary that we take it very deep. If we look carefully, sometimes Krishna is different. Huh? Aditi was mentioning yesterday about Radharaman. Sometimes he smiles, and sometimes you can see his teeth. Sometimes not. One afternoon I came here in the temple room, and I took darshan, and it looks Krishna, it's just such small eyes. Like it just was just like half a sleeper. And I was looking, I was thinking, Krishna, how amazing. But are you taking a nap? And I really looked, you know, I really looked closer to see, and it was...
Maybe he wanted to show you that he wants his bed in the afternoon.
Maybe I should have run on the altar and provide him a good bed. So the real function of the eyes is to see Srimati Radharani, to see Shri Krishna. So I will stop here. I don't know if you have any questions, any comments.
So Ich möchte das in Deutsch.
Ja, ja.
So, vielen Dank für diese wunderbare Klasse. Aber was mir so in den Sinn kam, ist, was muss ich vorher tun? Was ist the work before? So that I become this emotional understanding from that what you speak. And so that is so in last time I understand so that much devotees not study the Bhagavad Gita deeply enough. While the Bhagavad Gita is the basic to become trust. So all the words that Krishna speak to me in the Bhagavad Gita, that is the basic from trust to feel the Lila Katha, to feel that real Sangha. And but it is so wonderful when we don't have enough trust, then we don't can feel this beauty from the Lord. So that's only my understanding. And, what do you think about that?
Basically, it is said in Nectar of Devotion that first we need to practice sadhana bhakti, and then by the practice of sadhana bhakti, then this raga, raganuga, is coming up. So actually, we are doing all that is necessary for those emotions to come, but we need to go very, very deep into our attitudes. We are very, very good to do many activities, physical activities, services, but at least for myself, the moments of connection, the moments of prayer, the moments of unity, of deep connection with Krishna are very, very small. And I think when our consciousness can stay longer and longer into that mood of service to Krishna, then emotions just come. It just is bound to be. The problem is our mind is always taking us away. But if you keep your mind in any service we are doing, if you keep your mind in the chanting of the holy name for 10 mantras in a row, you feel ecstatic. You feel the emotions are just coming. You feel, what will happen now to me? Like also when we do puja, when we offer arati, if your mind just stay on Krishna and I'm serving you, this is my service to you. You just feel emotions are bound to come. Therefore also when we hear katha of the Lord and we are really interested to hear about Krishna, we are really eager to know more about Krishna, just emotions come up. We really need to come to this point of keeping our mind a longer amount of time connected to our practices so that something deeper comes. If all the time our mind is just running all around, just cannot get any emotion. That's how I will.
But that can happen too without doing service. Just by being connected, you are doing service.
Can you
So we always think service to do something and be connected, but if you stay sit somewhere and you are connected with Krishna, you don't do a service with your senses in a sense, but you can be connected.
Yeah, it's service.
So it's not a service. It's a service.
It's service.
It's different.
Very, very often the devotees have this misconception that service to Krishna is a practical thing. It is also, but basically service to Krishna is thinking of Krishna.
Yeah.
It's remembering Krishna.
This is a very important point.
Yeah, this is what Krishna wants. This is Obviously, in the beginning, we engage our senses, and all the time, actually, our senses need to be engaged. But what Krishna wants from us is our mind, is our consciousness, and we can serve Krishna very, very actively by just chanting His holy name, by just being sitting and chanting. This is actually the first service. This is actually the most important service that the spiritual master gives to the disciple to be done. Obviously, in the beginning, we have a lot of energy, and we need to do a lot of things to engage. We could not just sit and just chant all day long. But as we are coming deeper in our spiritual life, this service that we do as chanting, as hearing. If you see limbs of devotional service, it starts by Shravanam and Kirtana. This is the two main, first, foremost services we do for Krishna.
Because you can do a service which is not directly connected to Him, but still being in part of Him.
Yeah. That's the service. That's the service, to connect the thoughts with what we are doing. That turns it into service, yeah.
Even if the service is not directly meant to Him, let's say you go and get the mail, which you're not getting Krishna's letter, He's not writing to you.
Mm. At that time, if the service you do, service cannot be connected to Krishna, maybe you do something for the work or something that you really cannot connect to Krishna, then you do this action externally with your senses, but inside you just remember Krishna.
Yeah.
You just think of Him or chant His name inside Hare Krishna. You just remember His form, or remember a picture of Krishna. You just serve Him inside of you, and outside of you, your body just doing what the needful for maintaining or whatever is needed to be done. I see Aditi at also.
Actually, the highest principle in the act of devotion is that always remember Krishna and never forget Him. This is the principle above everything else.
Mm.
And if we do that, it doesn't matter what we are doing.
Mm.
If we just can remember whatever we do.
Yeah. Thank you. Jai. So, let's hope we have a good day, full of devotion, full of connection, and thank you for your
Sangha.
Yeah.
No, it will take some minutes because the transfer is not done.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
I'm so absorbed now. I forgot the transfer.
Maybe I come with you and help you to do the transfer.
If you are
a little faster. Karam Tarat, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.
Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai.